Rosh Hashanah Rav Horowitz on the Parsha, remembering what Hashem did to Miriam. Sources Bamidbar, chapter 12, 1 through 15, Devarim, chapter 24, verse 8 to 9. The Ulpan knows, Larry?
Yeah.
The Ulpan knows is this here right now?
Okay.
Stopping that already.
Okay, so we now begin today's share of Parsha Insights, which is on the Parsha Baalei Sechel, which speaks about the sin of Miriam, together with Aaron, with their high level, and in the phrase which is used in the Chumash, in the book of Devarim, it says, Zachor, Yehi Zashar, Asa Hashem, the Miriam, Badeh, and Seisem, and Yisrael. And this is preceded by the Pasuk, Yishon HaPnei Basarav. You should observe the laws concerning leprosy. Whatever the Quran will tell you, that you should do. So, the sages learn out, wherever it says Zachor, is a mitzvah. Not now speaking about the halach categories, some say it's really made a mitzvah of Sarat, right? Sarat come upon Am Yisrael at all times. It is both from the Chumash as well as from the prophets that leprosy comes, okay, in ancient times as a punishment for speaking evil speech. This leprosy is really different from usual leprosy, because it was something which is not just because of the infection others, which is part of it, but since we know that this type of leprosy apply also to garments and the houses, we know it's all got to do with sins between man and man through the main method of communication, which is by speech and creating rumors. Now we find that there are six mitzvot concerning which it says Zachor. We have in front of you the Sheish Zechilot. Some people say them straight after morning prayer. Why? Because Zachor means something you've got to do. The form of verb which teaches us to do something constantly. It's a constant mitzvah. Can you tell me any others that you know?
Oh, the easiest Mitzrayim. Like you see it Mitzrayim.
You remember you see it Mitzrayim, yes. It's also mentioned in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
What is it? The Ten Commandments?
Right.
What is it? Zachor? That's Blessed is the whore in the Ten Commandments. We say it every week in Kiddush. Remember, Erev Shabbat. And it means you should remember it in the week as well. How do you remember it in the week?
We have the six sayings of what we remember.
The Psalm of the day.
Every day we say a mizmor for each day. We remember it every day. Which other one do you know? Very famous one, which everyone says is Minat Torah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, you say it in synagogues, in every language, in every way of reading it, all different dialects. Which one is it? Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek, which applies at all times. Even when Amalek, racially speaking, doesn't exist. But who's on Monday today?
Germania.
The Gemara even says that Malek carries on in every generation. And even Hashem has to say he's going to rub off the memory of Amalek. And certainly, it says in Gemara also, the Germany is the place where Amalek was strong even in ancient times, in the Cossacks. But it became much stronger even with Rome.
Yet, with Amalek.
He descended from Amalek at that time, from Esau. And carries on, unfortunately, in the more contemporary situation, which is who was the terrible Amalek, which you all remember, unfortunately. Hitler marched all the table. He was the same. The prince of Amalek is the nation that follows the method of Amalek, who hates the people of Israel because they exist, because they represent morality. So all those nations to build themselves on immoral and even dangerous hatred, and there's no rational explanation for the extreme racism, extremism, which is produced by the Holocaust, but this is the emotional hatred that is still deep down in the hearts of those nations, which shows the freedom which God has given man, and they have chosen evil instead of good. And that choice is given to every human being. And it's clear that all things that are happening in more recent times, with the new Amalek, also come up, as it used to be also in Persia, and now it's Iran, who are just trying to build more and more weapons of hatred against Israel, which is very dangerous, joining together with the people who are also, to some extent, mentally insane. They don't realize that Hiroshima, in other words, going to produce weapons, indeed threatening, they've got weapons that we shoot from where they are, right to any specific spot. And it's very dangerous, we're in the most dangerous situation ever. The Chas v'Shalom, the Hiroshima concepts, should not become an actuality for the whole globe. This is the danger today. And that's why, as I'll say, those who do the way of Amalek, because they know no genetic connection, maybe, because despite DNA, which can trace certain power of genetics which has come through until today, but those who associate with hatred as a nation, and even the world power based upon principles of destruction, this is a great danger for the whole globe. So the six ones include also those who are mentioned on the page in front of us. And so you see, I just mentioned them all.
Yeah, good.
The first one brought here is in the very certain side, Exodus from Egypt, which is based also on the laws of Pesach, which is celebrated today. And the next one is to remember Sinai, the Mount Sinai. The covenant was made with Am Yisrael, they should always follow the ways of virtue and self-discipline and pursuit of sacredness instead of sin. That is mentioned in a few most extreme phrases. You should guard yourself and guard your soul exceedingly, lest you forget the standing on Sinai, and lest you remove it from your hearts all the days of your life, and just make it known to your children and grandchildren and all generations as a result. The day when you stood in front of Hashem your God in Horeb, and one of the reasons called Horeb, which means destruction, because if you don't follow that path, then there'll be destruction. People will use, nations will use, superpowers will use their freedom of will to hate and destroy. But you, the Jewish people, are from the opposite direction. When Hashem said to you, gather together the people, and I make my words known, that people should learn to fear Shamayim, and put fear Hashem, to fear me, all the days, as long as they're living on this earth. And they should also teach their children to continue it. But then, we have the case of remember what I showed you to our mole, which is us. The next one is, you should not forget, remember how you angered me in the desert until you came to this place where you rebelled. In other words, you've got to remember that if the people of Israel do not follow this path, then unfortunately, this will come to a situation where Hashem almost wants to kill the people, except Moshe Rabbeinu was able to save us. This brings us then to the last one, which we're dealing with now, to remember what it is familiar of. So therefore, let's be especially careful with remembering what happened with Miriam, which is the end of the parsha of this week.
So before,
have you any questions or comments on what you've said so far?
So I would like one of you to read out from the Chumash what it says at the end of the parsha.
That is,
Chapter 12, verses 1 to 15.
Here and Aaron spoke against Moshe regarding the Cushite woman he had married.
said, was it only to Moses that Hashem spoke? Did he not speak to us as well? Hashem heard. Now, the man Moses was exceedingly humble, more than any other person on the face of the earth. Hashem said something to Moshe, to Aaron, and to Miriam, you three go out of the tent of meeting. And the three of them went out. Hashem descended a pillar of cloud, stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. The two of them went out, and he said, hear my words. If there shall be prophets among you, in a vision shall I, Hashem, make myself known to him. In a dream shall I speak to him. Not so is my servant Moses.
So in the first verse it says that Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe concerning the Cushi wife whom he had taken, because he took a Cushi wife. What's Cushi mean? How they translate it here? It's a Cushite woman. Do any of you know what Cushi? What does it mean, Cushi?
Literally, I think it would be from, right, I guess.
From Cush. Literally means from Cush, but Torah doesn't necessarily mean that.
Well, we know Cush was an area. It says, for example, one of the examples that the provinces which belonged to King Ahasuerus went Mehod to Kush, from India to Kush.
Ethiopia.
Where is it?
Ethiopia.
Well, there's another Syria,
that area.
But there's another opinion that it was also from the Hindu Kush in India somewhere. There's two opinions.
Well, that's not the one referred to.
Not the Gila, but the Gemara talks about it.
Yeah. So, it's like this. You know, there are many different. There is even a Midrash, also brought by Josephus, who is a major historian, that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he, when he had escaped from Paro, that it was. Why is it a long time? Because he was a young man when he was had to flee away, right? Because he killed the Egyptian. So therefore, Paro put death sentence upon him, said run away to Cush.
Right.
And he married, became a leader there, became the leader of the black people there, and he also had a wife. Ultimately, he was when he got to Midian, that means much older. The Chumash does not give us that full story. But the Midrashim, the same by Yashar, ancient Midrash, and also Josephus, who say that's what it was. The question is, if that is that's what it means here, then it was really no longer relevant. That is, surely had nothing to do with the time when Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself to become the leader of Am Yisrael. That was much later. But it's used also in Shashir, it's used with the concept of beauty, contrary. They referred to his wife, his present wife, Zipporah, who was the daughter of Kohen Midian, priest of Midian, and it refers to the saintliness of great loving kindness that she had. But what happened there is, what was their complaint? which was the complaint of Miriam. And he said, if it's because, they said, he's so saintly that he has decided not to live with his wife. Because every times Hashem was speaking with him, then Hashem also speaks to Miriam direct, also spoke to Aaron direct. Therefore, he said to the family, why should Moshe, after Miriam saved Moshe, his name is Peach. Miriam was the one who looked after Moshe when he was in Egypt, when he was born, and from his birth. So therefore they said, they certainly respected and knew that he was a prophet. And prophecy demands also putting one's whole soul and mind upon the messages that come from Hashem to the prophet. And to do that, if you're going to live with your wife, it's going to cause a difficulty to receive the prophecies. So they said, but he speaks to us as well. He spoke to them, they were great prophets. So, and we still, at the same time, we also don't keep away from physical relationships with our wives. So why do you do it? That was the complaint. So therefore the concept here is that's the most simple explanation. If you haven't heard of any other explanations, so I'll continue. In the next phrase, what was the response? First by Shema Hashem. Hashem heard what they said. And he still said we shouldn't do it. So first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu's response to what they said. It says, Moshe Anabnor was exceedingly humble from any man who's on the face of the earth. How would you explain this expression? What's the first one? If Mokhar Adam is enough from every man, what's mean on the face of the earth? Do you have any explanations? What does Oscar say?
Can any of you read what Oscar says? Ishakushis. Can somebody read? Ishakushis. Oscar. Forgive me.
One second.
Yeah. I can't see it. Right here. But speak into the mic itself, close. I can't hold it.
Beginning with exceedingly humble.
One up.
Oh, no. The Kushite? No, the three is exceedingly humble.
Good. Right here.
What is the Ushu Kushite?
So, Anamavo. Moses was so humble that it was unthinkable to accuse him of considering himself superior to other prophets. Because of his humility, Moses would never have defended himself against the charge. Therefore, God had to intervene. According to one view in Sifre, Miriam and Aaron had confronted Moshe with a criticism, but in his humility, he did not respond. The Torah's characterization of Moshe as being humble sheds light on the nature of true humility. It is commonly assumed that humble people are afraid to speak up or assert their authority. This surely does not apply to the most humble man on the face of the earth. Moshe did not hesitate to confront Paro or castigate the entire nation of Israel. His humility did not deter him from doing what was proper, even if it was unpopular or dangerous. Rather, humility refers to someone's personal assessment of himself. He may feel humble that he has not achieved his potential, or that even if he has, his greater innate ability puts greater responsibility on him, and no one has a right to feel haughty merely for doing what one is obligated to do.
Yes.
Can I just add one thing?
Yes.
I remember from Midrash Rabbah that Midrash Rabbah in the Parsha says that Sephora is not really her name, that the Torah gives her the name Sephora because the things she said in praises to Hashem were so beautiful it was like a bird singing. And so you look at this Parsha here, like what the Midrash is saying, it's always using these phrases like all the Cushite women or Tzipora. And in fact, the Midrash Rabbah is saying we actually don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. It's only using these two terms for her name, but we don't actually know what her name was. That's what the Midrash Rabbah says. In other words, that her mannerisms are so beautiful and her praises to Hashem are so constant and beautiful, like singing a singing bird, Tzipora, like a singing bird. That's why the Torah calls her that. I just thought it was remarkable in Midrash Rabbah. Thank you.
Any other, very good. Any other comments?
The main concept of Isha Pushis, which was the Lashon Hara, is clear, was to express a high spiritual level.
So
their complaint with this other explanation, Mita Shrapa, same thing.
If the
way of the Tanakh is often to express material words and images and parables,
what
describes something spiritual. Because Hashem is a Yom Shamayim, that means he is above the horizon, he is above sight, can't see him, but you can have a ring.
The root of this from subjects which
we find throughout the Chumash, which is the word of Hashem,
for all
times, to learn the lesson. And how to keep away from gossip, and from judging people wrongly to a part of the mitzvah between man and man. It's like this, when we Jews learn and study the rules of what we're supposed to do,
it's
in a way, as soon as we get the concept that God is not just the creator, but the one who looks after us, so we try to fulfill it. And let's say, give an example, that there are so many Jews who don't keep Shabbos, but they keep kashrus.
Because
kashrus has got nothing to do between man and man. It's got quite simply what sort of diet you take. I mean, America, kashrus today is a big business. Even non-Jews take it because it's a because it's much cleaner, generally speaking, because the laws are very strict, and so the Jews keep to it, and so the non-Jews keep to it as well. It's good business. That's kept, you know, and people can eat glatt kosher, yeah, and still remain gluttons. That's called a normal Rishus HaTorah. They become base people and say, I'm forbidden to do it by the Torah, I'm going to have share. In business also, people find all sorts of tricks sometimes. They even take out to Iska, everything. But there are plenty of people who use it to try and make a better business than others. And these also sometimes, if you make a bit of a shrimp by the side, doesn't matter. When it comes, however, that should also be between man and man. That's why, what did Hillel say? When a Jew wants to become a non-Jew, wants to become a proselyte, he went to Shammai first. What did Shammai say? I'm sure you know the story. No, what's the story? What did Shammai say to
him? Shammai
drove him out?
Yeah.
With a surveyor's yardstick. He was a Shammai. He didn't take money for teaching Torah, so he became a surveyor of buildings. He said the Torah is a building. A building needs a high building, it's the highest building in the world. High building needs roots. Yeah? And therefore, I can't tell you in one principle. Every mitzvah is a principle. Every commandment is a principle. But what did Hillel do? Hillel said, the basis of our Torah is that which is hateful unto you, don't do to fellow man. Yeah. If you want to say you've got to love your fellow man like yourself, that's difficult. But at least don't do harm to your fellow man. And we, all of us, unfortunately, are guilty of this. We do harm to our fellow men by saying nasty things to them, many prohibitions. And we know this what we have. This applies to ancient times, applies today, it applies to how it applies to the whole world, applies to all the nations of the world. Because how is it possible for Hitler, for example, to have changed even some of the intelligent people in Germany to go support the Holocaust? How was it possible? Because first he made sure that he could make plenty of propaganda and say false things which are mentioned in the Holy Writings, both in the Chumash and in the Talmud. And he had a special newspaper, Der Stunde, which was edited by a person who picked out all sorts of passages from words of the sages. Yeah, and twisted them, was it from the Chumash he twisted, and made propaganda of all the harm the Jews do, Kavyachol. Yeah, right. So that's how, first he made propaganda. And how do the Muslims do today? They're going to teach their children propaganda. Even in Israel, the Arabs who let Allah to be Israel, but what do? They put in the schools. The schools teach them, how to hate Jews. The school teaches them how to kill people. They don't know how to kill. And that's the problem. Also today with Iran, the propaganda is spread through the whole world and creates hatred. And, you know, unlike the Ten Commandments, and ignore the Ten Commandments, they ignore the positive aspects of man and man to apply. And therefore Hillel said, this is the basis of the Torah. Love one's fellow like myself. And Rashi even says there, if you look, wrong mitzvah. The majority of mitzvahs have to do with man and man. And so, for example, Shabbat. Shabbat is not just a mitzvah between man and God, because he created the world. What does it say, the second version in Deuteronomy? What does it say there? what you have to remember, why to keep Shabbos.
Because
on Shabbos, you've got to give freedom also from work to people employed with you. They keep the same mitzvah, and they work for you, that for you. He then says, it's a heart again. He says, you should remember you were a slave in Egypt. Then you're going to treat your workers, and even your animals, you're going to treat them well. So, Shabbos also makes a professor. Of course, Shabbos means you do chesed with your family, and you also invite guests, and you make other Jews happy in every way you can. On the festivals, that's the major concept of the festivals in addition to the Shabbat. So this is a very important principle. So from this, unless you put any comments on what I've said, or questions, so we'll go over now to the words of the Rambam.
It's the biggest city.
Find here. To teach us the important qualities, but especially teaches us why it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, who has been criticized here and does not respond at all. Right? So, go back to a basic principle of morality developed by Maimonides, who says, when it comes to development of character of a human being, if you want to produce virtue and not allow vice to rule us, so you have to follow a middle path. With all qualities of character can be too extreme, you've got to be measured. So a person who's swayed in the direction of one of the extremes goes too far in the characteristics that develop a person's behavior should move in the direction of the opposite extreme. That's in a car when you want to go make a big turn, you've got to direct the steering wheel in the opposite direction. And accustom yourself to that for a long time. So this has to do with sets of penitence. How can a person reach penitence and improve his character? So when we can be certain of the penitence, those who lend money on interest, when they freely tear up their promises and notes and fully repent and do not lend even to non-Jews of interest, it's permissible, according to the law of the Torah, to give money as a loan, get it back, but it says you should not go and charge any further interest. However, if a person tends to too much to make use of this for evil, like you know the merchant of Venice deals with this question very much. And the truth is that Shakespeare's report of this is taken from Italian situation where the opposite was the way in which a non-Jew, who was owed money by a Jew, was asked to go and even get a pound of flesh. But you know that's not the concept of eye for an eye, because the Talmud deals with this length also. It cannot mean that you're not to take off the eye of a person who damaged someone else's eye. That's what festival exists in some non-Jewish codes, which are based on idolatry, basically. And everybody says, you shouldn't, no tashif, you're not allowed to impose on others. There are certain things which are permissible, other things which should have been. And when we are certain of the penitence of the dice throwers, English Vedic and Gambri, well, the governor, the regular governor, is not permitted to give testimony because it's against the laws of the Torah. If he's addicted, you've got to try and help him to get rid of it. But when they've broken their dice and fully repent and do a play, even when there's no money at stake, then we know there's penitence. The truth is that today also, that is the way. In fact, I had to be involved when I was in England with two instances I had of youngsters, you know, young, well-married people also who start to become addicted to gambling. And together with psychologists, following the ways of described by the Rambam, we're able to cure them. When can we be certain of the penitence of those who race, pigeon racing, or horse racing? So when they break the instruments with which they capture the pigeons and do not follow their practice, even in the desert. So through butcher who examines the animal and sells it, and sells the non-kosher animal as kosher, he is invalid as a witness until his deeds bear witness and is repented. So this is the concept. The Meiri, who speaks about this, middle of the roadways, cannot cure the morally ill. The only remedy is to take to walk the opposite direction and see his refrain and see him return to the proper path. So, can one of you continue reading?
What in front of your question?
I have a question.
Huh?
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you can give an insight on it. So, the sin with Miriam is Loshon Hara, and we see in the Mishnah the steady steps that keep going. When you don't make tshuva from the Loshon Hara, it goes to the clothes, and it goes to the body, and then it goes to the stones of your house, and then ultimately the house gets knocked down. And the Mishnah says, and Rebbe says, no, you have to know this. This only happened one time in history that this house got destroyed. Can you talk about this guy that kept seeing all this stuff happen to him, even to the point where he's the only guy in history that had the house destroyed, and talking about stubbornness, not making tshuva, and what this means for all of us to learn about how to start improving on Loshon Hara, and this, why Rebbe puts this in as the one example, why it's so important for us to know. Can you comment on that? Thank you.
I think the best way is, there's also not much time left, I'd like to give here, have you got a copy of Chofetz Chaim?
Chofetz Chaim, no.
Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim story.
No, I don't have it.
No, the Chofetz Chaim, sometimes people ask that his name was not Chofetz Chaim, what was his name?
Kagan.
Yisrael Meir Kagan.
Yisrael Meir, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, Yisrael Meir.
Pulko was his first. Was Kagan, which is Cohen, and his sister. And so he is one who wrote major books on every aspect of loving one's fellow man and keeping away from the many prohibitions that exist if a person doesn't care about the Lashon Hara. The Talmud says that the person is taken from a verse. The person's
profession in the world is to make himself dumb. So I might think, does that apply to kind, loving kindness? A person has to communicate with others. He said, the Prabhupada said, no. He's got to reckon that it's got to be like a profession in his life to make sure that he never says anything which could lead to arguments, shouldn't say bad things about other people, and he's got to, that, but it's not so easy to do it. In fact, let's say the more qualified a person is with his mind, and he doesn't use it also to control his inner qualities of feeling his own importance, the only way he can do it is if he trains himself to follow all the directives, which is true, they're not mentioned explicitly throughout the Torah. But it does say quite a few times that Hashem, all, to some extent, all the words of Hashem are Musa. Some people think the Musa movement was originated by the Shlomo Zalmanzer. But the truth is, the Musa movement lies in the Chumash itself. And that's how it's described. The Chumash is also referred to, especially Bereishis, but also the rest of the Chumash, especially Bereishis, which speaks about the way in which Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov behave, is really the basis for the rest of the Chumash. But Derech Eretz, Karma Torah, Derech Eretz, the way how to behave on earth, on this earth, that's important. You've got to be on this earth to have good relationships between parents and children, and vice versa, and between husband and wife, good directions. You've got to learn in detail how to get the best possible relationship with other people, which sometimes is very, very difficult to do, as we know, as we all witness even today. So this is perhaps a lesson for us to remember that if it's too difficult for us to get this out from learning in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or from learning in the Talmud, but we must get to learn it from how it's been put into the different works of the Chofetz Chaim and his successors, and it's certainly very important in our yeshiva. Take a lesson and make sure that we should have to counterbalance the situation that is present. With my son, unfortunately, it's got to do with the relapse from his brain damage, the sort of front brain was damaged by the American army when he was in training. And that's of course it's not.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Yeah. Edelstein was really the head of halachic authority for the Haredi community, and he was 100 years old, and unfortunately, that's the riot taking place now.
Should get good news. Yeah.
I just want to say about your son.
Yes.